Every day, in different ways, every person faces many different voices and many different choices of who they are, where they came from, and why they're here. In fact, it's caused a lot of confusion in our generation. Someone said the most embarrassing moment for an atheist is that when they receive a great blessing, but they don't know who to thank. They just don't know who to thank because they don't believe in God. Well, we know who to thank, and that's why we're here. Part of worship is praise and thankfulness. But turn to Genesis chapter 1, and I want to show you and remind you that Genesis is God's revelation of who He is, first, and who we are. And Genesis tells us that the universe is not an accident, and you're not an accident. The universe is not a mistake, and you're not a mistake. In fact, God planned you from before the creation. And we find this in Genesis. But I want you to know this morning that until we know God as the creator of all things, then we do not know the true God. Until we know God as the creator of everything, then we don't know the true God. And so let's take a look in Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at God's creation of the universe. An interesting note is, as we read, you're going to see that there's a pattern here in each day of creation. And what we see is that, for example, day one, light and darkness is created. Day four, the universe is filled with those lights that we have. But this is where God separated light and darkness. Day two is the expanse of space and the atmosphere of water. Day five is where the creatures of air and water fill. And day three, the land and sea is separated, fertile earth and plants. Day six is when land animals are created and humans are created. And so that we see kind of a pattern there where God builds, creates the universe, and then fills it with His creation. But let's begin in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the memory verse for our children this month in the kids' class. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So we have day one of creation. And that word created, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, is the Hebrew word bara. That word is never used of man, because that word is about God creating everything out of nothing. Now we manipulate materials. We can form materials as a carpenter or as a potter does clay, as a jeweler works with gems. But see, the jeweler didn't create the gem. He's working with existing created items. So this word bara is only used of God. It's found when David said, "Create a clean heart in me, O Lord." See, only God can do that. You can't do that. Only God can create a new heart in you. Isaiah said, talked about God creating a new heavens and a new earth. Same Hebrew word. Only God can do that. We can work with existing materials, but only God can create materials from nothing. And at first, the earth was without form and void. There's darkness on the face of the deep, and we find the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. That's interesting. The Spirit of God hovering over the waters. Some translations, like the ASV, the Spirit of God moved above the waters. The reason is not stated. Why is the Spirit hovering over the waters? But it is interesting that Jesus says it is the Spirit who gives life. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. Notice that God is not a distant creator, separate, you know. He's intimately involved in creation. His Spirit is hovering over it. We see God creating, we see the Spirit hovering, and of course Jesus is upholding all things by the word of His power. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Did you know that light is energy? God created it, He energized it, and He divided it from the darkness. And when we look at forces in the universe, we understand there's gravitational forces, atomic forces, electromagnetic forces, and all energy in the universe. And light is a part of the electromagnetic spectrum. Did you know that visible light is only like this, of a spectrum like this? That spectrum includes AM radio, FM radio, it includes Wi-Fi, it includes microwaves, like the microwave oven. It includes visible light, it includes your remote control, infrared light. It also includes your cell phones, cellular, X-ray light, and it includes nuclear, the light caused from a nuclear reaction. All in the same thing that we call the electromagnetic spectrum, and what you see is only like this much. Which is probably for the best. I mean, imagine the static that we'd be seeing all the time if we saw everything in the electromagnetic spectrum. But the point is that God created light, and it is energy. Light is energy. That's why you get a sunburn. Because you're being radiated by energy from nuclear fusion, the sun, which is a star. And if you spend too much time in the sun, you can get cancer. Because the radiation can corrupt the DNA. So when the DNA replicates and your cells replicate, it can have problems there. Why? Because light has energy. And God energized it. And what's interesting about light is it's made of particles that seem to not to collide with one another. And yet God created that day one. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God made what was void and formless and dark, He made it to become energy, power, and light. And I want you to know that it is actually God's word that energizes the universe. The energizing force in all the universe is God's word. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. I want to show you something interesting. Proverbs chapter 8. Hold your place in Genesis 1, but Proverbs chapter 8 is a chapter on wisdom. And wisdom is personified in Proverbs chapter 8 to help us understand how important it is. But in chapter 8, Proverbs 8, beginning in verse 22, listen to wisdom speak. "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet, He had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a master craftsman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Brethren, when you live by God's wisdom, you are living in harmony with God and his universe. That's why when you live by God's wisdom, things go well for you. Because you're not working against God, you're working with God. Now you start working against God and you're going to have problems. But if you use God's wisdom, you're working not only with God, but in harmony with everything that he's made, because he used that wisdom to make the world. That's how important wisdom is. You'll have a far happier and meaningful and fulfilling life. This is the first day. The first day. It's the Hebrew word yom. And it's always used for a 24-hour period. So in Exodus 20 and 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day." So that's why we don't go through the Bible and say, well, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So when Joshua marched around Jericho, he didn't march for 7 days. It was more like 7,000 years. No, it was 7 days, because that's what yom means, a solar day, a 24-hour day. And God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. And someone said that could also be transliterated as God saw how beautiful it was. Day two. Read with me in verses 6. "Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Then God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament with the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day." The King James and the New King James use this word firmament, which we just don't use anymore. It actually is the Hebrew word raka, which means expanse. An expanse, or the literal definition of this, is spread out thinness. Spread out thinness. This is where God created the atmosphere. He created the expanse. And he's dividing the waters in creation from the... He's creating the atmosphere, dividing the waters from the waters. So we have waters in the atmosphere. We have there's water in space. A comet is made of ice. That's why there's a tail. The tail is the ice melting. So there's ice. There's water in space, frozen. There's water in the atmosphere, and then there's water on Earth. And God separated this in the expanse. And he called the expanse heaven, verse 8. And God called the firmament, or the expanse, heaven. That's strange, because we see other things called heaven too. So it helps to understand that in Hebrew cosmology, there's three heavens. The first heaven is the earth's atmosphere. That's what we breathe. It's where the birds fly. The second heaven is space, what we would call outer space. The third heaven is God's throne. So when Paul says he was caught up into the third heaven, he wasn't caught up into the atmosphere, he wasn't caught up into outer space, he went to God's dwelling place, the third heaven. And so what's interesting about creation is anything outside of God was created. The atmosphere separates water on Earth from water in and above the atmosphere. And just to give you an example of how amazing it is, everyone knows what this is. It's a snowflake. Did you know it took scientists 4 years to replicate one of these from scratch? 4 years. A team. It took 4 years for them to create a program that would create snowflakes. In 2009, researchers wrote a computer program that can duplicate the symmetrical beauty of snowflakes. In nature, snowflakes form when water molecules crystallize around a speck of dust or other material in the atmosphere. And a Wisconsin researcher, David Griffith, said the computer program is complicated. He said, even though we've artfully stripped down the model over several years so that it is as simple and efficient as possible, it takes us an entire day to grow one of these. He said the water molecule was the real inspiration. He said water is the most amazing molecule in the universe. Pure and simple. It's just three little atoms, but its physics and chemistry are unbelievable. It's not just the expanse that's amazing, that we scientists can't explain. It's the smallest, simplest molecule called water. And it takes 4 years of a team of scientists to create a program that can even do what God does in every day. Just a simple snowflake. So day two is the expanse in the atmosphere. Day three, God is building, beginning in verse 9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. God divides the ocean from the land on day three. This is where the islands and the continents are formed, you might say. And God calls the dry land earth and the gathering of the waters seas. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Everything was created by God and by the power of his word. And on this day, God makes the earth fertile with grass, herb, and trees. And we find for the first time that God creates plant life to be self-sustaining with the ability to reproduce within kinds. In other words, this is the first time we see the magic of DNA, the way that life replicates itself, all within kinds. This is the beginning of biology and chemistry, the complex compounds and systems of life. And what God is doing is he's terraforming the planet into a biosphere in order to prepare it for life. Life. He's terraforming the planet into a biosphere. But there's something that plants need, is there not? Don't they need light? Because plants have this amazing process that could have only been created by God. They take in CO2, and with light, they do this conversion that produces oxygen for animals and humans to breathe. All replicating by the power of God. And so plants need light. And so God brings the sun and the moon and the stars. Verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament, that is in the heavens, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament or the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So God creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. And God's precision is so awesome. If Earth was just 1% closer to the sun, we'd all be burned up. Too much radiation and heat for life to exist. If we were just 1% further away from the sun, we'd be an ice planet. Too cold for life to thrive. And yet, God created it all in synchronicity. And not only that, it wasn't just for light, it was for times and years and seasons. That tells us that the galaxy is, and our solar system is the most accurate clock ever devised. Because that's what it is. It's a clock. How do we have seasons? Well, the Earth is in orbit of the sun, but it's not. It's an elliptical orbit. As we revolve around the sun, we're closer to the sun in the summer, but in the elliptical orbit, we're further away. But as we complete that orbit, it becomes 365 days. 1 year for an orbit around the sun. And so God set this up for days. The Earth revolves 24 hours for day and night. Years, it revolves around the sun. And seasons. Why would there be seasons? Well, how about animal migration? How about agriculture? Seasons that create variety on the earth for animal migration and for variety and for agriculture. In day 5, God creates creatures of air and water. Look at verse 20. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens," that is the atmosphere. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And listen to this. This is the first time we see the word blessed in the Bible. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. "Let the waters abound with living creatures." We went to Brookings Harbor one time. And we're just spending the day at the beach, and we walk down on the pier, the docks down there. And out of the corner of my eye, I'm seeing flashes of light. And I look down there, and I'd never seen this before. There were just tens of thousands of small herring, or I don't know what kind of fish it was, but just swarming in schools. Just all you saw was movement. It was just life moving under the water. We see in Psalms, "O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great." Isn't it interesting that we're living in the 21st century and we're still finding things in the ocean that we never saw before? Submersibles bringing up creatures that no one's ever seen before. Sometimes a creature that was said to be extinct millions of years ago, and then they find one that's living, and they're like, "Wow, we were wrong." From plankton to whales and every form of marine life in between. And all of these creatures created to be able to reproduce their species. Just think about salmon and steelhead, because that's where we're at, right? We're on the Rogue River. Think about the salmon and the steelhead. They're born in these little tributaries that seem insignificant, running through the woods. And they grow. And then they find their way, when they get to a certain age, they find their way down the Rogue River. They end up down in Gold Beach. They go into the ocean for 2 years. They get strong and big. And then they turn around, and then they come back up the Rogue River. They're in the ocean. They find the exact river that they came from. They come back up the Rogue. Then they find the very little creek that they were born on. Then they find the little tributary off that creek. How do they know that? God created them to return to the very place they were born. And when they do, they lay their eggs. Those eggs are fertilized, and then they die. The parents die, and then the children grow and repeat the same cycle. We can't explain how they do it. Let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the heavens. Did you know that God's knowledge and care for His creation is so great that He knows even when a sparrow falls? He knows even when a sparrow falls. There's an Aleutian bird that's famous for its migration. It's born on this rock island off the Aleutian chain. And as it grows, it meets its mate. And they have babies. And as the babies are hatched, they reach a certain size. And then the parents take off for Hawaii. They're like, we raised our kids, and now we're going to the tropics. And they leave. But no one told them where to go. They go to an island in the Hawaiian chains, and then their kids are left. Their kids are just kind of abandoned, and then they meet their mate. They have children. Their children get older, and then they leave. And guess where they go? The same exact island that their parents went to. No one told them how to get there. And it's a needle in a haystack when you look at the Pacific, because if a wind blew them off course, they still find their way to that island. Because God is incredible. And an element is added to God's work on this day. He called His work good, and He blessed the creatures that He had made. God would also bless Adam and Eve, Noah and his family, Abraham, and through Abraham, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And that's why we're here this morning. Day 6. Land, animals, and humans. Verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of all the earth, each according to its own kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Listen, then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Creation reaches its final pinnacle when God fills the land with animals, large and small, and each with a purpose in an ecosystem made by God. Now, sometimes we wonder what the purpose was for some animals. And sometimes only God knows. But each plays a part in this biosphere, this ecosystem. But God made man different. Unlike angels, we have a body. Unlike animals, we have a spirit. And God made us unique. We have personality, we have morality, and we have spirituality. Unique in a way that allows us to actually communicate with God, which in and of itself, prayer in and of itself is amazing. The fact that you can communicate with God, well, God built that into you. God built that into you. That's why sometimes even atheists find themselves praying, because God built it into them that we can talk to God. And then, of course, God rested. God rested on the last day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. Now some people think that there's two creation accounts. Next week we're going to explain that there's one creation account. It's just that this is the overview of the days of creation. Chapter 2 goes in really specifically more into day 6 and gives more detail. So there's not two creation accounts in chapter 1 and chapter 2. There's one creation account, one as being an overview, sort of a cosmic view, the other being more of a relationship view between man and God. But I just want to say two things, and the lesson is ours. Number one, the implications is that God's Word has power. God's Word has power. Power to breathe galaxies. Power to speak, and it is so. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's that Hebrew word bara, created out of nothing. And when talking about Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus was involved in the creation, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and look at, upholding all things by the word of his power. God's word has power. That cannot be denied. And what's interesting, and what I want to bring to your attention, is when we read in Genesis 1 and verse 2, the Spirit moved above the waters. Do you remember that? That same word, when the Jews translated the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek, the Septuagint, before Jesus was born, they used the same word in Greek for the Spirit moved above, across the waters. We find the same Greek word here. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that moved above the waters is the same Holy Spirit that moves holy men of God to write the Scriptures. Don't let anyone convince you that this is not God's Word in His own words. Word for word. It was moved by the Holy Spirit. And that Word is life. Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That's how powerful God's word is. God's word is powerful enough to create the universe and to give you eternal life. Don't doubt it. And number two, lastly, God creates incredible worlds, doesn't he? God creates incredible worlds. We still can't figure out the complexity of the universe. It's so beyond our frame of reference. But there's another world. And by the way, God's physical universe is so incredibly vast. Did you know that for every patch of sky the size of the moon, you know, when you look in the sky and you're looking at the moon, for every patch of sky, the size of the moon is a million galaxies contained in that circumference. A million galaxies. Just in the size of the circumference of what you see in the sky of the moon. God creates incredible worlds. And He creates... This isn't the only world, of course, that He's creating. I want to show you a comparison between the physical world that we read that God created in Genesis. I want you to see the comparison to the eternal world that we read in Revelation. First of all, in Genesis 1, there was the division of light and darkness. Remember? Day 1. In the eternal world, there will be no night there. In Genesis 1, there was the division of land and sea. In the eternal world, there will be no sea. We saw the rule of the sun and moon. There will be no need for the sun and moon. God will be its light. We saw man in a paradise garden, chapter 2. We're going to see man in the paradise of God, Revelation chapter 2. It's interesting, there's a river flowing through Eden. There's a river flowing from the throne of God. Golden onyx stone are in the garden. Did you know that golden onyx are in the foundation of the city of God, Revelation chapter 21? The tree of life is in the midst of the garden. The tree of life is in the paradise of God. And God walked with them in the garden, and God is going to dwell with His people. Because God makes incredible worlds. And the world that He has created for eternity, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it even entered into the mind that He has prepared for those that love Him. It's going to be an incredible world. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has an incredible plan. It all began in Genesis, and until we know God as the creator of all things, we don't know the true God. He created all things, and our lives are in His hands. You know, the angels, the created beings around the throne in heaven, praise God for His creation. And we should do the same. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. And they worship God at His throne because of who God is. Genesis tells us, it's really God's revelation of who He is. It's also a revelation of who we are. And if the angels around the throne praise God for His power and creation, shouldn't we? We're going to sing a song of praise right now based on Psalm 148, song number 2 in your books. Let's all stand and sing praise to God.